Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast, brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I'm your host, co-host, Paul David.
And I'm Maya Darren-Paul Hornby, your co-host as well.
And today we're joined by Avion Gray, the co-founder and CEO of Belong. Welcome to the pod, Avion.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So we're going to be talking today about building wealth for young investors, and the focus will be this incredible investment app that you've designed to help young people build their future wealth. And just by way of introduction, Avion started her career as an investment banker before working for credit card processing platform Clover, leading product development before overseeing Clover's expansion into Europe. And then Belong was founded in 2021 and launched in April of 2024 after raising an impressive $3.4 million in pre-seed funding, the highest ever pre-seed round by a female founder in Europe. Well done, Avion. That's a pretty impressive resume.
Thanks, Paul.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of Belong, I was wondering if you could start by explaining for our listeners the current landscape of investment opportunities for young people and the challenges that they face in building long-term wealth today.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at the landscape, the way that we think about it is sort of looking at the traditional and then what happened in the last 10 to 15 years in terms of just how the landscape changed. A lot of the traditional options are still there. So things like workplace pensions and property in terms of means to building wealth. I'm a huge proponent of stashing money into pensions, but they have traditionally been less transparent. And our research shows that young people really value this transparency and a sense of control. And also factors like the growth of the gig economy and freelancing, self-employment are making traditional workplace pensions a bit less accessible. I think when you look at property, it's widely embraced that the expectation that millennials and Gen Zs just won't experience the type of asset appreciation in property as a form of building wealth as our parents and grandparents did in the 80s and 90s. And I think that's a widely embraced sort of expectation, especially in places like London and New York, San Francisco, Berlin, Amsterdam, all facing the same sort of unaffordability of property. So those are kind of the two big traditional means of building wealth. And then I think over the last 10 to 15 years, what we saw was new digital wealth platforms emerging, beginning about 10, 12 years ago, starting to address this accessibility issue. So platforms like eToro, Nutmeg, even Hargraves really focused initially on reducing cost and friction. And some of the ones that emerged in the mid-2010s really proved that young people who are now very digitally native are really willing to invest on their phones via apps, and apps created by startups and not necessarily the incumbent banks. So that's sort of what the landscape looked like and what we believe paved the way for a platform like Belong.
That's great. And we'd love to hear a bit more as well about kind of, you know, the specific gaps or issues in the traditional investment market that you and your team, you know, look to address. You mentioned obviously the unaffordability of something I'm feeling as someone who's been living in London for about 5 years and thinking about maybe buying, but it just seems like really, really far out of reach for myself and my partner. But yeah, what just dig into some of those traditional, you know, those gaps in the traditional investment market, if you could, for our audience.
So I think that, you know, first and foremost, there are just disparities, right? There is an issue here. A problem that we're looking to fix, right? When you just look at millennials being the first generation in history expected to be worse off financially than our parents. So literally poorer than our parents. And although millennial wealth has grown in the last few years, it's really only for a minority of the segment. And we also have the largest wealth gap in history. These are some of the things that we're seeing. The majority has less wealth at age 35 than our parents did. Right. And a small amount of millennials hold kind of the greater proportion of that millennial wealth. And then we look at things like, you know, and the statistics show these things, Paul, right? Like things like ownership of the stock market. We looked at data by the New York Fed looking at ownership of the entire stock market, corporate stocks and mutual funds, and broken down by generation. Today, boomers own about 56% of the stock market. Gen Xers own 26% of the stock market, and millennials own less than 5% of the stock market, despite being the largest cohort of the population today, about 22% of the population. And then when you just look at home ownership, another kind of proxy for building wealth, at age 30, 51% of boomers own their own home in the UK when they were age 30. 45% of Gen Xers at age 30, 28% of millennials at age 30 own their own homes. So this is kind of framing the problem that we're looking to solve here. And there are challenges, right? There are gaps and there are challenges. There are many. We did a lot of research when we were looking into kind of designing this platform. So my co-founder, Samantha, is a behavioral economist, and she specializes in financial decision making. She's an economist by training. She studied behavioral science and did her master's thesis on the determinants of gambling addiction in sort of the poorest households in South Africa. So it's something very close to our heart. And we were very research led in how we sort of designed the platform. And some of the challenges that we saw, right, the gaps were things like, you know, if you ask Sam what's the number one reason young people struggle to save and invest, she would say present bias. And I think it's a major gap for us, and a major challenge that we're looking to overcome with Belong is just helping people connect to that future self for whom we should be saving and investing, right? Present bias says that we so strongly favor our current selves, right? And gratifying our current self, reducing pain for our current self, sacrificing in the present for our future self, right? And we really struggle to connect to that future self. We struggle to save and invest. A lot of us feel like we don't have enough to get started, right? We feel like, you know, if you're going to get started with investing, you got to make a splash, right? You had to go in hot. And then when we ask people what is enough, they don't really have a good answer, right? So it's this perception of not having enough. A lot of us feel like we've sunk the game, right? It's too late. We should have started 10 years ago. So it's too late. And that leads to some inertia, a relationship with liquidity. Some people have a really, you know, different relationship with liquidity. And it really resonates with me as an immigrant, sending money home, you know, like you just have a different relationship with cash in the bank, right? When you're scared of a financial crisis or a health crisis at home. And so these are some of the things that we saw and some of the things that we think existing platforms really aren't tackling in the most effective way, because this problem still exists.
Just in terms of people's relationships with sort of cash in the bank, and also in terms of the research that you guys did at the beginning of Belong, you spoke about how you found that young people wanted more transparency from their investment platforms. Why do you think this greater visibility is being insisted upon? Is it simply because we now have so many technologies which can just give you sort of 24/7 updates? And does it link to sort of socioeconomic climate where there is just a greater distrust in sort of institutions holding our money?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, but what we're seeing really leans towards the former. We have technologies that enable transparency, right? We have this mobile phone, and it is such a powerful tool, right, to have your information, your emails, even your investments, your bank accounts at the tip of your finger, right? It's sort of an extension of yourself. And I think what that has created is this expectation that everything's going to be there and should be there for quick access and convenience. We're busier. We have less time. We have all these factors sort of bombarding us and our time. And I think, you know, people really want and value convenience, transparency, speed. And we've become a bit spoiled, to be honest.
And do you think that climate is sort of beneficial for long-term investment? Or do you think technology like that actually does encourage what you were saying, that present bias, even further?
I think it's something that we thought about a lot when we were designing this, because we sort of are designing a long-term proposition, right? It's in our name, Belong, right? It's really part of our ethos that you buy, diversify, and hold, right, your investment over the long term, sort of passively, so to speak. But then we want active engagement in terms of our literacy, our community, the way we engage people. And so it really is trying to balance that off. And I do think that there's ways to do it, right? To actively engage people and have the community engage while sort of not engaging with the investment on a daily basis. There are ways to do it. And what we're trying to do is really sort of educate, bring people along this journey that, you know, you can learn and you can do all of these things, but you don't need to be trading every day. And it is a balance that we talk about probably on a daily basis at Belong.
Amazing. So would you now be able to explain to our listeners a bit more about how Belong's investment model works to enhance long-term financial outcomes for young investors, and explain more about what makes your approach at Belong unique compared to other investment platforms.
So the way that we sort of sum up the mission that we're on, we call it sort of solving the paradox of wealth. The paradox of wealth basically says, you know, to build wealth, you need two things. You need time and money, because you need your money to compound over time. But what we found in our research as we dug into it is that few people have both of these things simultaneously. So when you're younger, you have a lot of time ahead of you for your wealth to grow and compound, but many of us don't have enough starting capital. We feel like we don't have enough capital to get started. And then when you're older, the reverse is true. So you may have amassed a bit more capital, but you have less time ahead of you. And so what we're looking to do at Belong is to correct that paradox by encouraging people to get into investing, long-term investing, earlier in life and with more. And then we're also looking to sort of identify, acknowledge, address some of these other blockers that are stopping people from getting on that ladder, starting on that journey towards wealth building, emotional, psychological blockers. And we think that we're innovating in both camps. Right. So on the paradox side, this is where the unique boost loan concept comes into play. And so in encouraging people to get in earlier with more, that with more part of it speaks to the boost loan, which is pioneering. And we are the first platform in the world to offer retail investors an optional low fixed interest rate loan that would scale up a long-term diversified investment in equities. So customers can join the platform, they can opt to take the boost loan. So you bring at least £1,000 of cash, that's our minimum, to join the platform and invest with Belong. You then have the option to apply for a matching loan that would up to 1x your cash. And, you know, we take everybody through a creditworthiness assessment to make sure that they can afford the monthly repayments on the loan, comfortably afford them, and a credit check as well. And then once you're approved for the loan, your cash and the loan money is disbursed instantly into your investment fund. So we offer broadly diversified index tracking funds on the platform, S&P, MSCI World, that sort of thing, by the broad market. So your cash plus the loan instantly disbursed into your investment, and then you start repaying the loan every month for 5 years in low monthly installments. So very much structured like a mortgage, but instead of the asset being property, it's actually a diversified basket of equities. And so it's highly innovative. And, you know, we really believe that, you know, when we look around the landscape, we think that the way that we access investing has changed and evolved a lot in the last 10 years in terms of apps and phones and that kind of thing. But when you look at the actual financial products and tools that we're supposed to invest into, there's been very little innovation. And that's what Belong is really looking to tackle.
We're a content and digital marketing agency, so I want to dig into your growth strategy and how you're speaking to these different audiences underneath whom the landscape is shifting, you know, pretty dramatically. So would love to understand the steps that you're taking to kind of expand Belong's user base and market presence, and if there's any specific sort of technological advancements or growth strategies that, you know, you feel are key to Belong's success. And specific, you're talking to a millennial and a Gen Zer right here on the pod, so we're very keen from our different generational perspectives to hear how you're marketing to those audiences and the different platforms and content types that are resonating.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to touch on the technology piece really quickly before we get into the marketing and the growth. I think Belong definitely exists because of some of the technological advancements that happened and kind of paved the way for us. So we make very heavy use of open banking technology, for example, in terms of, you know, just how we assess people from an affordability perspective for the boost loan, and then also instant open banking payments of their investment. And, you know, we're using sort of credit reference agency data in our algorithms, using a bit of AI and all of that to help assess customers for the loan. So definitely making good use of technology and technological advancements in how we built the platform. In terms of marketing and growth strategy, it's in our name, right? So we have this very catchy name, it's Belong. And there's actually a triple meaning in the name. And so the triple meaning is really sort of belong, on the emotional side, it sort of belong to this, we believe, sort of a revolution that we're creating. in investing with this sort of, you know, pioneering product concept in the Boost Loan, and belong to this community that we're building around making long-term investing the cool thing to do, right? And building this social identity around being long and making that kind of the responsible and cool thing to do. And then also just be long-term in your thinking, and then be long equities and sort of buying the market, buying and holding. And it's in our DNA, really woven into our mission. We have three foundational beliefs that we land in our marketing, right? And we really believe that if people buy into these three things, then you sort of really buy into our mission as a customer. And those three things are, number one, the stock market goes up and down every day, right? It's guaranteed. It goes up and down, it's going to move. Volatile, it moves, it fluctuates. But over the long term, history proves that the trajectory is upward. The second thing is around diversification, right? We believe in diversification. We believe it's the only free lunch in finance to diversify yourself. And that may look different for different people, how you sort of diversify your personal finances. And then the third is compounding, the magnificent effect of compounding over time. And that basically says, the more you invest, the longer you leave it, the faster it grows. And those are our three foundational brand messaging. The proof is really in the pudding in terms of our brand identity. I think we've created a really unique brand identity. We launched a platform a couple of months ago to rave reviews. And, you know, we got a lot of inbound messages from customers and from our target audience, people just really loving the brand, the identity, thinking it stands out. One of my favorite messages that we received was a customer telling us that they, you know, that he just loved the website and it was like an oasis in the desert of the internet, and just really loved the identity that we created. Another thing I would say, Paul and Maya, is just our approach to literacy is very unique. And it's really come out of research, being very customer led, speaking to our target audience and understanding where they are in their journey of enlightenment, and how they would like to be spoken to. And when you look at some of the campaigns that that have been really successful for us on Instagram, for example, which is one of our main platforms, we have one called How to Sound Smart at the Dinner Table this weekend. And it emerged from kind of this learning from our audience that people go to their community to talk about money, right? And finances. These conversations are happening at the dinner table, right? Out with friends, at the pub. And we really want to implant ourselves where the conversation is happening. And so we came up with this campaign where every Friday we drop a very kind of funny, enlightening anecdote on Instagram. That's like storytelling. You can easily just tell it at dinner this weekend. But in that anecdote is embedded, right, a financial lesson, but it's told in sort of a storytelling way. So for instance, we have one called The Ticker Trade. And it basically talks about the fact that companies with stock tickers that spell out what the company does. So like PZZA for Domino's, or that kind of thing where you say it is pizza. Those companies, studies show those stocks actually perform better. And there's a company in the US that went and bought up all these four letter words as stock tickers. And then I guess they probably sell them on. So we tell that story and it's very interesting, but embedded in that story is sort of what is the stock ticker. Right. And these are how tickers work. So that's an example. We have another campaign called The Rising Tide, which profiles Belong customers in a very vulnerable sort of way, as really the human side of our customers, and sort of quotes and lessons that they'd want to share with the community. So our approach to this is very community led, very, you know, engagement led, the way that we do literacy, very behaviorally informed. And we're really looking to build a strong community behind the brand, really embed ourselves where the conversation is happening.
Yeah, I love that approach, because I think what people miss sometimes in fintech and the sort of minutia of it is that it's such a, like, you know, emotional topic for people, like money, you know, like I love the piece that you have about, you know, how to help people be smart at the dinner table, because people are so worried about being embarrassed or they feel ashamed talking about money. And I think, you know, just like pushing through that in the fintech space and putting it out in front and saying, like, look, there's a massive human emotional element to this. And how do we equip people with like the literacy and the tools to address that, I think is really powerful. You know, just because that can often be the blocker to folks' financial success. It's just the way they're thinking and frankly feeling about money. So that it's great that you're taking that approach, and it's one that we really try to embody by doing more narrative storytelling, more human, emotional, sort of oriented, marketing. So appreciate that approach you're taking there.
I'm wondering, just in terms of reaching sort of wider audience of like Gen Zers on platforms like Instagram, do you use influencers? Like, are there fintech influencers? And could you talk me through that process a bit more of sort of vetting those sort of community builders for you guys?
It's definitely a strategy that we're looking into, and we want to use in the future. We haven't started just yet engaging with influencers. So we're very much focused right now to start with on our brand messaging and building our initial community of customers. Also focused on referrals and sort of establishing that initial virality behind the product and the platform. The influencer side of things is definitely something that we will be looking at. And we've really just started to look into which influencers sort of align with us, align with our mission, align with our messaging. And there are many out there, but it's not something that we have pulled the trigger on just yet.
I think the B2B influencer space is really interesting, and it's like growing, and it's got a lot of potential. And we just put out a piece. We do a lot of work in HR tech. We put up a piece that's about like the top 43 HR tech influencers. And it was so fascinating doing that research. And all these people were coming at us on LinkedIn, like, thank you for featuring me. And, you know, and I'm sure, you know, this is an idea for us to do one in the fintech space. So maybe we'll carry on with it. But, you know, that also equipped companies like yours with, okay, these are the 43 HR tech influencers to reach out to, you know, maybe start a campaign or to just begin conversations and things like that. So I think that's like maybe one of the more beautiful sides of TikTok and Instagram and some of the other communities is like, these are influencers, but they're actually like educators. They're people who are, you know, helping us break through some of that shame and that worry that people have about money in the financial space. So it's exciting. And I, you know, we wish you luck with, you know, dipping your toe into the B2B influencer space.
Now, in terms of sort of like those figures who are educating people about financial literacy, I was wondering if we could sort of talk about your personal journey and what motivated you to sort of transition from your career in investment banking and product development at Clover to founding Belong. So what sort of personal and professional experiences shaped your vision for the company and its mission to help young people like me build future wealth?
Yeah. So on a personal side, so I was born and raised in the Caribbean. You may hear the accent. So proud Trinidadian. And I didn't grow up with a lot of wealth, but I did have parents who believed that education was the greatest sort of mobilizer, equalizer. So very much focused on our education, moved to the US, went to university, and then started my career as an investment banker. And that really gave me a strong foundation in sort of capital markets, financial analysis, and then carried on to become a product and commercialization leader at Clover. So I think from a professional perspective, I've launched product and the Clover platform in 5 countries, including the US and Germany, and led those market launches. Clover is now an amazing scale-up story. It's the leading smart point of sale platform in the US for small businesses. And I was sort of at the forefront of that launch. And I got to the point where after having all this great experience, I felt like I wanted to do something where I can bring every atom of my being to it. Sort of literally every particle of my being. In the corporate world, I felt like I was sort of leaving some behind. Kind of leaving some at home or leaving some in the lift when I get to work. But I wanted to do something where I can bring all of me to it. Sort of my skills, my talent, my expertise, who I am as a human being, be really vulnerable about something that I cared about deeply, and also build the culture that I dreamed of building at a business. And I think more on the personal side of things, kind of the fire, the passion for Belong really came, you know, I went into investment banking after not having grown up with wealth, you know, went into investment banking where I was surrounded by a lot of wealth, and then also got my MBA at Stanford, where I was also surrounded by a lot of, you know, people with, you know, a lot of wealth and kind of privilege. And I don't say that in a derogatory way at all. You know, I very much admired these people. But it really lit a fire in me to do something impactful to help level that playing field, because I saw how people who were equally intelligent, motivated, ambitious. The people who came from wealth and had that in their DNA and that financial understanding and literacy built into them, I saw these people kind of making different decisions, optimizing their decision-making differently after we graduated, taking different calculated risk that other people didn't. And so I really wanted to level the playing field and do something impactful to speak to that audience, speak to that target customer who knows better but really struggles to do better. And that's where the fire was really lit in me for this mission. And the stars really aligned once I was looking to kind of move forward with my career and do something big and impactful in the world. And then I met my co-founder, Sam. We were introduced. We're kindred spirits, and really the rest is history.
Just to sort of wrap up, we like to always ask guests about, sort of advice or maybe better, like what worked for you? Like, what would your pointers be for folks, particularly Gen Z millennials who are trying to just get started with like their investment journey?
Yeah. So Paul and I have to preface this by saying I'm not licensed to give financial advice. I strongly encourage people to seek out professional advice if you have questions about your personal situation, right? I have to say that. But I can speak to what we are already seeing with Belong in the wild and how customers are telling us that we are changing their lives. And I think there's two schools of thought around investing broadly, right? And around our proposition and our approach to kind of solving this problem. One is start with more and hold. Like, go into the markets with more, go into the markets today, stop waiting, perhaps do so with more if you take the optional boost loan and hold, right? And then there's a second school of thought, which is around pound cost averaging. And that basically says that we should kind of contribute on a recurring basis regularly to our investing. And what that does is, you know, some months you buy high, some months you buy low, but over time it kind of evens out. Right? So pound cost averaging. And so what we're already seeing with customers is that we have customers on the platform who have never been able to save before in their lives, right? Who have told us, I have never been able to save regularly. I did not have the discipline. I struggled. People who even started, they may have gotten a lump sum, a signing bonus or something, and they put it into the markets, never added to it, right? And that's what's happening. And we see people on Belong starting to do that and starting to build wealth. And, you know, some people who have opted to take the boost loan and they're repaying it every month, right? We've seen that repayment sort of show people, wait a second, I can actually have a direct debit coming out of my bank account going towards something that's helping me build wealth, even though you're repaying a loan, but you've got the money up front. And we see people saying, wait, I can do a bit more, right? So let me add a bit more of a top up to it, right? I can afford a bit more every month. So right there, you're repaying the loan and your pound cost averaging every month. And these two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can happen at the same time. And so we see the boost loan somewhat acting as a gateway for further kind of saving and investing habits, healthy habits building up. And so what I would say to someone looking to start off, kind of what I did in my own personal journey, was decide how much you can afford every month, right? Come up with a number. Look at your income, look at your expenses. After you put aside your rainy day fund, right? How much more can you afford every month? And then you have to kind of decide between, am I going to just add every month, pound cost average that money into the market, or perhaps get a boost loan with Belong, you know, use part of it to repay the loan and part of it to add to my investment. But it's really all about starting today, right? There's no better time than today. How much ever you have is enough to get started, because with investing, time really is money. And so that's what I would say.
I appreciate that. It just strikes me like one of the big words and sort of themes for me this year, at least, is this idea of discipline. And I'm read this great book, or in the middle of reading it. Ironically, it's taken me forever to read this book about discipline, but that's another conversation for another time. But Discipline is Destiny by Ryan Holiday. And it's like a really good, lots of really good snippets about different, you know, baseball players and executives. And even there's a, you know, great chapter about Queen Elizabeth II, and just the different ways that discipline manifested in their lives and returned, you know, fantastic results. So highly recommend it. But it just strikes me that discipline is so critical in the space of, you know, finance and savings and kind of like growing your nest egg. So appreciate you leaning into that and just saying like, just start somewhere and then, you know, it'll compound and have that discipline to check in with yourself every month and say like, what can I afford? Because I think that is the hardest part. You know, it's so easy to be like, have your eye on the trip to Iceland or the great new technology piece thing. But you have to like think about your, as you said this earlier, like your future selves, you know, and like lean into that future self a bit and you know, have past Paul help future Paul, for example, a little bit. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have one of our brand mantras is your future self will thank you. Or future you says thanks a million, right? So it's a lot of just landing this message of connecting with that future self. And we really believe that the brand that is able to crack that and really get people to understand that connection needs to be made, or it's cool to make that connection, will be the brand that wins. And we think that Belong has a really unique approach to doing that.
I love that thinking too. Like, who doesn't love to find a little treat for themselves? Like you slip 20 pounds in your jeans and then, or like a little snack into your backpack and then you find it later. Like, that's lovely. So how do you sort of like, you know, turn that into a product or almost gamify that in the finance space, I think is a fascinating question for brands to answer. So this has been a fantastic conversation. Really appreciate your time today and would love to, have folks, figure out where can they find out more about Belong and the great work that you're doing there.
So we are obviously online at b-long.co and then on Instagram at Belong Wealth, where you can see a lot of our campaigns that I talked about.
Awesome. Well, this has been another great episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. We've been talking today with Avion Gray, the co-founder and CEO of Belong, talking about building wealth for younger investors in Gen Z and the millennial cohort. So Avion, thank you so much for your time today. You've got a brilliant product and a brilliant brand, and we look forward to hearing from you and staying in conversation about building wealth across generations. So thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And everyone listening, please, so we can bring on more great guests like Avion, please like, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and share with your friends about this topic, this critical topic of investing in yourself, investing in wealth creation, so we can keep bringing on more fantastic guests like Avion. So thank you so much.